B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. The Fanatic.
Well, a lot of people are going to be out.
They should actually win tonight, even though Eflin's pissed.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Eflin against this lineup, what do you get?
I hear you.
If they split the series.
The Dodgers are coming in. Now, Kershaw's pitching, and Kershaw's not Kershaw. He's not the old Clayton Kershaw.
Right.
But they're coming in. They got their bullpen is battered, right? They played a five-hour game last night. I mean, you know,
Dave Roberts needs Clayton Kershaw to go seven innings tonight. And are you going to get that?
You got to win tonight. You got to win. I mean, you can. You know, here's the bad thing, is that we're not even saying take three or four.
Split.
We're hoping for a 2-2 at home. That's bad.
Does that save the season? Not just like record-wise, for the fans too. Does a 2-2, four-game split with the Dodgers save the season for a lot of fans?
Save it? A 2-2 split?
Yes. Like, will people be invested as the weeks continue to go on? Because you got the Braves at the end of the month. Are people going to watch Phillies Tigers, Phillies Pirates?
Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much everybody's into it now. I think we were all excited, and then they didn't hit. And then, their pitching is their pitching. And so all that happened, and it doused enthusiasm for the rest of the season. Look, you're always going to get people to go, because it's a beautiful night. I still love the ballpark. Go see a Phil's game. Yeah, I'm in. But this is not like Red July. You know what I mean? We're not walking around, let's go, Phil's. Fightings. Like, you remember 08. Like, it wasn't long. 07, 08, 09, 10, 11. You remember those years. You're living every ball game. We're not living every ball game. Do you feel that way?
No, I don't. And I remember those days. I was in middle school, high school those days.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Come August.
This isn't, I mean, a caller earlier bringing up, who brought up, Schmidt, Lozinski. I mean, we're not going way back. I'm just going back to, eight, 9 years ago.
Right. But you mentioned this when you were on the boardwalk a couple weeks ago and you saw all Sixer stuff. 08, 09, 10, when I was in middle school, high school, when school came back in August, everybody was wearing Philly stuff. It was red. The hallways were red. Because everybody's wearing their Phillies.
Everybody had Phillies.
Nobody's doing it right now.
Nobody. No. First of all, it's clear the Sixers are the hot team, right? Eagles are the Eagles. The Sixers are the team, much like you bring up 08, like when we're talking about that. It's a red, white, and blue town right now. Always Eagles, but where it became red before, it's not. I'm enamored by it. I can't wait for a basketball season. I can't wait for the world championships.
Did you see who might be out?
Ben.
How do you feel about that?
I'm really disappointed.
Me too.
Really disappointed. Like, it's not going to ruin the whole thing for me, but it...
Well, that's also his chance to pull up and take a jump shot.
I was praying he would play.
That's his chance to take a jump shot. Well, now what?
Here's why. Here's the other part of that is... Is that he would? It's up to him offensively to do everything, to not just facilitate but to score. So not just with a jump shot here and there, but to legitimately score, to drive to the basket, to pull up, And that's why I wanted him to play on a subpar team where he had to shoulder the scoring load. I wish he plays.
Yeah, I was disappointed too, seeing that.
What was the latest?
It's just that he wanted to work on it. That's the last I saw, is that he wanted to work with the around Philadelphia.
I know. I heard the same thing.
Keep on training.
I was like, come on. I like what Tobias said. Listen, this is how crazy we are about that team. Tobias actually guards Ben beyond the arc, and it's news. He's asking, and it is good. And we're all, me, because I have so much riding on Ben to pan out, I was ecstatic over a pickup game.
Yeah, because he made two threes.
Over make and take it. Over win by two.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Let's get back to the phone. Shannon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Shannon.
Yo, what's up, cuz?
What's up, Shannon?
What's going on, baby? So, I know y'all talking baseball, but I want to switch gears with you real quick.
Yeah.
Because y'all were talking about Ben Simmons. So, you know, he's working on his jumper. Hopefully he comes back with that next year. But do you think we need to give him this year as well as the following seasons for him to really have that confidence in his jumper?
Yes, I do. I think he's going to have some confidence. I hope.
Because, you know.
I hope.
I mean, we obviously want him to come back with it, you know, this year, but it's probably going to take 3 years for him to really
be
confident in games with that jumper.
I agree, but here's what I'm thinking, though, right? Little tiny steps.
Right.
Little steps toward that. So, because here's the thing. If by the end of the 2 years, he's got a legitimate, you know, dangerous mid-range game, that's great. But we need to just see glimpses throughout the 2 years, right? Because that will pacify some people. I pacify me. You know, if he takes it here and there, we see all of a sudden, pull up, free throw line extended, bang. You know, attack the rim, go to the line 10 times a game, you know, 8, 9, 10 times a game. I'm feeling good, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, even like you said, go to the paint and get fouls. You know, take those free throws, build your confidence that way with those jumpers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm optimistic with him. I hear it all. I'm optimistic in him. I still think he's special. I do. Special.
He's absurdly talented. And just one more thing, cuz.
Yeah.
Football season coming up, baby. It's time to rock and roll.
We got
Carson coming back. His first football season, he's going to be right. We got Alshon, D-Jack, Jordan Howard and the crew. You know, we're going to be right this year. So we going back to the bowl this year, cuz.
You feel it? You know what's funny?
Yeah, I feel it, bro.
Like, sometimes I have to pinch myself in the sense that this team is a Super Bowl. It's built to contend again right now. Like, that wasn't a fluke 2 years ago.
We going back, cuz. And Carson got something to prove this year. He going to prove he's worth that money.
I like it. I like it. Shannon, by the way, you have Fan Fest tickets?
No, but I want to go. My girl really enjoyed herself last year, too. So, you know, we definitely like to go again.
All right, well, hold on. You got him.
Appreciate it.
All right, you got him. You know, but by the way, don't be shy. I just sensed it. I sensed it from Shannon. But if you're in, you know, you're feeling it and you're dying to go, you know how we are about FanFest. We want you to go. It's the only way you can get in is with a ticket. It's free. But you need that ticket. And man, oh man, it's going to be unbelievable. The best year yet. It's going to be amazing. You know, the Sixers are involved this year, too.
Yeah. That half court thing, they had it there last year. It was fantastic.
So to bring that back, they got the, I love the half court thing. We got a wiffle ball thing, too, going on.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to strike some people out.
How about this? The Wiffle Ball Challenge Dome. I like that a lot.
It's in a dome.
That's right. The dunk.
Retractable roof.
The dunk squad's going to be the Sixers dancers, the Sixers drum squad, and how about this? The bell.
That's pretty cool.
The bell rules. The bell's going to be here.
How many times are they going to be hitting the bell is the question. How many times does that bell get rung?
Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. There's a bouncy boxing with huge boxing gloves, baseball speed pitch, a casino room. It's outrageous. And some of our FanFest partners include Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risqué, Armor Metals, and Recycling, the U.S. Army, DHY Motorsports. Amazing stuff going on for FanFest. So don't be shy.
And don't forget, it's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
There you go, buddy. Let's go to... We got the Cadillac. Cadillac, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Cadillac?
You're just piling on the Phillies, complaining about that organization being run, and I just got a pile on here, too. They're in La La Land down there, Ant.
In which way?
We're sitting, we got 60 people up in the 400 section, all right? And they're still running like they just won it in 08. I'm dragging my butt back from Campos. I got my 2.5-year-old daughter. I got 3 cheesesteaks, a beer, and a water bottle. And the usher's not letting me go in during an at-bat.
Well, but that's...
Is that right?
Well, that's the rule, though. You can't, you have to wait until the at-bat's over. Same thing in hockey, right? Like, we got to wait for a stoppage.
And in the 400 level?
I hear...
Third-place team?
I hear you, you know. But, you know, again, you know, you don't want to be in you don't want to be blocking anybody's view. I mean, I get you're up there.
It was a struggle. It was a struggle.
I hear you, but you know the rules. I get the rule. I can't kill him for that. I'll kill him for what's on the field. I'll kill him how the things run, but I can't kill an usher for that. Yeah, I mean, you know that. I mean, look, it's a pain in the ass for you, Cadillac, but you understand, right? Like, you know, there's certain things like you can't really complain about that.
I'll go easy on that then.
Yeah. Kill it. There's a million things. You could kill them for everything. Where this team is at right now. The fact that...
It was just the icing on the cake.
I hear you. You're aggravated. I get you.
Process, and then I got to stand there. I can't even watch Reese Hoskins pop up. I got to stand behind an usher.
I hear you. What, you want Fan Fest? Feel better?
Sure.
All right, hold on, buddy. You got it. Hold on. I mean, you know. Certain things you bury them for. And the fact that McPhail and Klentak are in their fourth year, and they're not a lock. They're the third best team in the division. And they're not a lock for the playoffs. That's not good enough. Not with that kind of payroll. It's not good enough. You can't allow... You get Bryce Harper... And the Nationals, from the Nationals, basically, and the Nationals are a better team than you. They're built better. I mean, who would you trade right now? Like, which team would you trade the Phillies for the Nationals in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
Yes, deeper lineup. Just like the Braves lineup, deeper. Maybe more star power, maybe some more power.
And forget about the rotation. Right? Yeah. That's, you know.
I mean, we got a AAA rotation.
Forget
right
about
now.
The rotation. All right. 610-632-0975. We may have Steve Phillips, the former GM, on from the MLB Network, MLB Radio. Steve was once the GM of the Mets. We crossed paths way back in the day. He's a good baseball man. I'm curious to see what he has to say about this club. It's 97.5, the Fanatic. I'm Cuz. Jason's on vacation.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Let's open it up and chat.
All right. I'm angry today. I don't know what it is. I know what it is to the Phillies, but I feel nasty. Like, I feel like I'm in an angry mode. It really got to me. Andrew, do you feel that?
Yeah, you should have heard me Saturday morning with the bro. The bro came in here with a positive attitude. I brought him down for 4 hours. He was angry with me for 4 hours.
Well,
how can you not be?
I mean, seriously.
Especially after that game Friday night where they get shut out.
Oh, my God. And then you lose Saturday night you can't protect the lead. And all you do, like, I hear Klentak, same thing. Oh, well, we don't need...
Kimbrel, we got Hector Neris.
We don't need Kimbrel. And that's the way they say it, too. It's that attitude, that arrogance.
Like, what do you know?
But here's the thing. If you just say, listen, I hear you. You know, we were hopeful with Hector. He's done a great job so far. So, you know, we're looking to maybe do some other things. We think maybe when Robertson comes back, or, you know, we get Sir Anthony straightened out, whatever, and he comes back, that, you know, we'll be all right in the back end. But, like, why do we need Kimbrel? That question, like, excuse me, really? Why do you need Kimbrel? Like, are we dumb? You got a guy with one pitch, right?
That same answer, he goes, oh, and don't forget, Edibray Ramos is coming off the injured list today. I still remember him saying it.
I know.
And then he gets sent down a week later because he stinks.
I know. It's they insult you. And that's the thing. You know, and that's the thing that they're so, and I've been around these executives, these baseball executives, and it could be any sport. They insult you. They insult you. Yeah, the good thing, you know, one of the reasons why, like, we're excited about the Sixers, but, like, they don't insult you. I mean, Colangelo rubbed you the wrong way a little bit, but he wasn't insulting. He was good, right? You know, he believed in faults too much, but whatever. But, like, you listen to him. You listen to Howie. They don't insult you. Like, Andy McPhail if you just tuned in, this is Andy McPhail. You didn't hear it from Friday night. And he's talking. The question was about, you know, leadership, whether it be from Gabe or above Gabe, and how they're handling this whole thing.
You know, to me, honestly, I hate to even dignify that question with an answer. We're in the postseason today, if the season was over. To suggest for a second that there's something lacking at the leadership level or the coaching level, I just don't believe
that. Really? You don't want to dignify that? I mean, come on, dude.
You know who handled a press conference perfectly? Elton Brand did after the night of the draft. The draft
was perfect.
Think about how critical people were being on social media and perfect. On the radio and TV. Yeah. Everybody was upset because he was trading second round picks. And instead of saying, I'm right, you're wrong, he finished with,
and it'll make sense soon.
Yeah.
That's all he said. It's perfect.
Yeah, he didn't ask you, hey, did you ever pitch in the big leagues like Arrieta did to Jim Salisbury?
You want
to
hear that?
Yeah. Let's hear this Prince.
The pain is just something you get used to.
What kind of pain are we talking? Are we talking ice pick or toothache?
I mean, it's not good. It's not good.
No. Nothing better than that.
I mean, it's...
like, throbbing?
Have you ever pitched before? So it's hard. It's hard to relate.
What a J.O. Really? I'm sorry, did you have a purple heart, Jake? Did I miss that? Did I miss the Purple Heart? Oh, that's right. You're just a pitcher. Okay. It's unbelievable the lack of awareness where you're at right now. I mean, that's a big part of it. All right, I want to get a bigger picture on this club at where they are from a national standpoint. He was an executive unlike what we have in front of us now, he was a pleasure to deal with. And I covered him when he was GM. And he was as honest and forthright as he could be. He's now MLB, MLB Radio, the former executive Steve Phillips on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
How you been, man?
Doing great. Doing terrific. Thanks for having me.
Always great to hear your voice, buddy. Takes us way back to our days with the Mets.
Yeah, the glory days, right? Glory days back in the day.
So, first of all, we're very upset today in Philadelphia. Andy McPhail came out Friday night and said that he's unsure whether or not they're going to make a move. And fans here feel like, look, you went all in on Harper. You got Realmuto. You knew you had no pitching. You got to get us more starting pitching. How do you view the Phillies right now?
Yeah, you know, when I covered them in spring training from MLB Network Radio, and they sold us hard on the quality of their starting pitching. Like, they believed in Nick Pivetta. They believed in Eflin. They believed in Vincent Velasquez. They thought Eichhoff's coming back. They thought Arrieta is going to have a really good season this year. Nola's going to be great, and he's an ace of the staff. They really sold it hard. And I remember talking to Jake Arrieta. He raved about Pivetta and how he's ready to go to the next level. And what they liked about their pitching staff was that they got swings and misses, right? This is an era of strikeout rates and avoiding contact and all of that. And so they were really fired up about it. But that has been one of the bigger miscalculations of a team's, you know, quality this season. The Mets have had a similar sort of miscalculation about the quality of their team as Brody Van Wagenen you know, sort of said, you know, come get yeah. us, you know, we're the team to beat. And so, you know, and so they need starting pitching. There's no question about that. There is starting pitching available. And, you know, that starting pitching, you know, if they could add a Bumgarner, if they could add a Stroman or somebody like that, it would really change the dynamic of this team. And I think that make them a more, much more competitive team down the stretch. Now, will it help them catch Atlanta? Maybe not, but it certainly could make them a wild card team. And, you know, my belief is that if you get into the playoffs, you've got a shot to win if you get hot at the right
sure.
time, if guys start to pick it up a little bit. And so, you know, offensively, I mean, they've been a little disappointing in that, you know, Harper hasn't quite, you know, I mean, listen, Bryce Harper for me has performed kind of what I expected. I know he has somewhat underwhelmed people in Philadelphia to a degree, but if their pitching has been better, and, you know, and even their bullpen, I mean, you know, I thought their bullpen would be better than what it was. Now, they lost Robertson early, but they had so much depth of guys that I thought that they'd be able to, you know, out of that group, find the hot hand. And it's been better than the starting pitching, but not good enough because of the starting pitching to be able to stay as competitive as they'd like.
Yeah, you know, and they tried to sell you on Neris, but when you're a one-pitch pitcher like that, and that pitch isn't a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, I don't trust you to close, particularly in October.
Yeah, here's the thing. If that was the biggest problem, then it would be pretty easy to solve because there are a lot of options yeah. in the bullpen to go out there and get. You know, and look, what Andy MacPhail is saying is they're not one player away from being a World Series champion. And yet, I personally think that take a shot to get to the playoffs.
Sure.
And then once you get there, who knows what could happen.
Exactly.
You know, certainly the Dodgers look like a formidable team in the National League. The Braves are really good. And they you know, make a move here and there, they can get better. But the Braves can be beaten in a short series, and so can the Dodgers be beaten. Kershaw has another clunker. Who knows what Ryu is going to be pitching like come October because he's never been able to throw more than 130 yeah. innings since 2013. And so there are questions about the Dodgers still. So, I don't know. I mean, it's all about if you don't think you're a World Series team, should you not get better? And I think there's opportunities to actually add players that get you better this
yes.
year, but also could be factors for you next season and beyond as well.
Yeah, I mean, Stroman, you got under control for next year. There's a couple of guys out there that you go get that you can do that. And see, the other problem is that when you go all in to the fan base, we're talking to Steve Phillips, terrific, former GM, baseball exec, MLB Network Radio. When you go get Harper, and look, we all thought Harper would have a little bit better power numbers in this ballpark, but they still haven't raked as a whole of a lineup. There's still something a little off with them. But man, you know how it is. You get hot, you got a couple arms, and let's go. I mean, what happens in the first half sometimes will give to something else in the second half.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, you know, and I think the McCutchen injury really hurt because it seemed to me that, and I live this with Mike Piazza a bit in New York, that when you have a star where everybody wants a piece of them, you need to have, and the tendency then for that star is to sort of isolate, that they pull back a little bit and they don't always give you everything, you know, in an interaction with teammates. And I think Harper has a little bit, and it's just the nature of being a superstar.
Yeah.
And you can see it a little bit where he kind of circles himself in and protects himself. McCutchen engaged him. McCutchen had him doing the handshakes. McCutchen had him smiling. McCutchen had, and you know, you need a player to kind of pull that star out. Guys used to sort of poke at Piazza when he wanted to retreat and pull him into the group. No, you know, sometimes it sort of, you know, he came charging in like a bull in a china shop, but it didn't matter. It engaged him back with the team. They need that now without McCutchen in there, and I don't know who that guy is going to be to pull Harper back into it. It's sort of the dynamic of the chemistry of the clubhouse. But look, it's not an indictment on Harper. It's hard to be a megastar and a brand, and everybody wants a piece of you because the way you protect yourself is you put up a wall around yourself. But in the clubhouse, you've got to be engaged. And I think that sometimes it's hard for him to do that. I think there's part of the issue in D.C. with the Nationals, and it's one that they're going to have to do there. Now, they got Harper for the long term, and so they went all in, but they did it knowing that you know, there's a process to rebuilding, and yet this team certainly is capable of being a playoff contender right now. They're right there. And so I wouldn't back down from it. Sometimes it happens a year earlier than you anticipate. And to your point, what happens if they do get hot? What happens if Pivetta does get locked in? What happens if Arrieta's bone chip and bone spurs are, you know, settled to the point that, look, if he give you five innings with one run, figure out the final four innings. He's done his job, considering that he's, you know, diminished a bit. So I wouldn't walk away from this Phillies team just yet. They haven't gotten hot and really sort of ridden out. And I know they played sub-500 baseball over the last 3 or 4 weeks, but there's still a lot of talent on that roster that I think just has to come together.
Steve, is it fair? Do us a favor and take us inside running an organization. So the Phillies, the way, you know, listen, Klentak, they went from being a very anti, one of the last analytical teams that really launch angles, all the analytic heavy, to being, it's their religion. So they did a complete 180. And the oddity, if you look at certain guys that left, they played here, J.P. Crawford, he left, he couldn't hit it all here. He leaves, and the next thing you know, he's hitting in Seattle. Carlos Santana's here. It's a nothing year. And now he's on the hitting cleanup in the All-Star game. Domingo Santana. There's a lot of guys that leave this organization and start to flourish. Can you look at what's being taught at the major league level and down below and then apply it to guys that have success outside the organization?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's a good observation. And the answer is that it's different for every guy. And I live this too. So I'd sign a free agent who Robbie Alomar hit three, or I trade for Robbie Alomar. He hit 300 for Cleveland the year before, scored 100 runs, drove in 100 runs, stole 20 bases, hit 20 home runs. I got him and he left his game back in Cleveland. Like he couldn't play anymore. Like what happened? And a lot of times when a player signs a new big contract and he goes to a new team, there is that pressure of living up to it and trying to live up to expectations and being something more to justify the contract. When you got the money to be exactly the guy you've been throughout your career, there's a part of the player, and it's a nice trait that you want some guy to try harder. And in this game, it gets you into more trouble. In markets where the fans communicate differently, like Philly, New York, Boston to a degree, but the fans communicate differently, that when they're displeased with your performance, not even just your hustle, but your performance, they boo. In other places, like you go to St. Louis, they just don't cheer. And that's a big difference to the players. And so for some guys who get booed or who people are heckling, it affects them differently. And for most of them, what they do is they try harder because they want to sort of please the fans. And what ends up happening is the harder you try, the more often it compounds the problem and it gets you into a deeper hole. And a lot of times it takes an entire off season to flush out all the bad thinking, all the bad thoughts of what you thought about yourself, because you start thinking bad thoughts about yourself when you're struggling and you go into the next season with a fresh start trying to turn around. And usually guys are better that next time around. Now, it doesn't help you when you're trying to win and go to the playoffs this year. But I think that you will see a better Bryce Harper next year. I think that you'll see some other guys that have come in that would be better next year just because of the nature of how difficult it is to play in these markets where when they're not completely happy, they boo you instead of just not cheer you.
Steve, what do you think of Kapler?
I think he's okay. I don't love him. I don't dislike him. I think he's okay. I don't know that he's necessarily a difference maker as a manager. I think he's figuring himself out a little bit and growing into it. You know, when you're ready to win right now, you kind of want your manager to have gone through the growing pains of managing. And you know, he wasn't really a manager. He was more of a minor league director and that sort of thing. And so he's learning a lot right now about what to do and also about what not to do. And I think last year was a tremendous learning experience for him. I think he's still learning this year. When teams go into to slumps or they streak, You know, streaky teams oftentimes don't have an ace, right? The reason you have an ace is to have a guy who's a stopper to stay out of the 5-6 yep. and 7-game losing streak. So you've got that guy that you know when he goes out there, he's going to win for you. Now, Nola's kind of fallen off a little bit. But then if that's not working, it's up to the manager to find a way, right? Like, well, I know this. When I broadcast games, one of the best parts about it was getting to talk to the managers because you realize how different they are. And you know, every guy's different. They all have a certain thing. So, like, for me, Jim Leland would speak in Lelandisms. You'd go into his office, he'd speak in statements. And the most amazing thing ever, he'd go out and talk to his players, and they would regurgitate his statements. They would speak his words back to you, right? And so you knew that his players listened, and they believed it because they spoke his language.
I never knew loggy was a word until I met Dallas Green.
Yeah, right, exactly. Dallas sort of the same way. And so, like, Bobby Cox was the biggest cheerleader for his guys.
Yeah, he was.
And they would say that if you were 0-15, he'd make you feel like you had 10 hits your last 15 at bats. And if you made a mistake, he blamed it on himself. He didn't blame it on you, and he took the pressure off. Joe Torre didn't say a lot. But when he did speak, guys really leaned in and listened, like the old E.F. Hutton commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Tony La Russa was the guy that when you're broadcasting a game, you'd have to think along with him because you knew somewhere throughout that game, offensively, defensively, he was going to steal a run. And so I don't think Kapler's quite there yet. I think he's still figuring out analytics and how he's going to meld that into his personality in that. But I give him credit because he persevered through a tough start, right? You only get one shot at a first impression, and his first impression wasn't great last year, right? He took out Nola early, and it was a little bit awkward, and there were some mistakes made, and he brought in a guy who hadn't warmed up. But he got through it. He persevered, and his players seemed to have respected him to play for him. So I think there's something in there, but I think he's still figuring it out and a team that's trying to figure it out. And so that's not the perfect connection and formula to be a playoff contender or a World Series champion, to Andy McPhail's point. But the question is, does that mean you don't go for it in some level or some degree?
All right, last thing. We're talking to Steve Phillips, MLB Radio, Network Radio. It's unbelievable. Former executive. How long – this happens about patience – and McPhail, Klentak have been here. This is their fourth season. They have had four drafts. Their first draft, they picked first overall, Mickey Moniak, who doesn't look like he's going to be a big league player. 2017, they had number 8 overall pick. Adam Haseley looks to be like Moniak. They were both slight of build outfielders. Don't look to be major impact players. How long, and now they have an owner that has a lot of money. How long do you wait? What's fair to turn around an organization to make them a true contender?
Yeah. Well, I think that it depends from where you're starting and in order to sort of look at where you're going. Now, you know, it's one thing to come in and say, okay, it's torn down to the ground. Let's start to build it up. It's another thing to say we're part of the deconstruction program first, and then we have to build it up.
Right.
Now, I will say that, you know, they had to do some tearing down before they built it up. And, you know, we've seen some of these other rebuilding franchises where they've turned it around in 4 years. And so, you know, they're close to the pace of those teams right now. And not every one of those teams has had great drafts. Teams, I mean, you know, was it Mark Appel with the Astros was kind of a
mistake. He came through here.
Right, and he came through there, right? And so, you know, even in the Astros, as brilliant as they are, released J.D. Martinez, and he's now one of the best designated hitters and hitters in the game of baseball.
So the Phillies released Charlie Morton.
Yeah, right. And so, and you know, he had shredded groin muscle at the time. And so you know, even the best general managers have those guys out there. Or they have a bad draft. Or, you know, what you do is you hope if you have a bad first-round pick, you catch lightning in a bottle with a 12th-round pick, and he turns into a star. And so... So, you know, I think that, you know, so I look at them and think they had to start to deconstruct before they could completely rebuild. I think they're on a decent pace to get things going. The good news is you've got a committed ownership to go in the right direction. Andy McPhail is a quality, experienced baseball guy. I think he was trying to control expectations in what he had to say. And I think there's maybe a better way he could have said their position. Because I think if he had said, look, you know what, we're not completely overwhelmed with how we're playing so far. That being said, we do still have a solid core to win. We're going to look for prudent opportunities to go out there and address our roster this year to go for it. We're going to continue to build a team that will win a World Series, that hopefully this year, and if not this year, then into the future.
Exactly.
And look for opportunities. Right. So I think that that's what he was trying to say. He just didn't say it the way that I think what he was doing, because what we do as executives, we are sensitive to the way our words are perceived.
Yeah.
And particularly in a market where there's big expectations, and I think there were big expectations of Philadelphia.
Certainly.
He's trying, and I think people are saying, let's go for it, sell out and do this. He's trying to say that we're going to go for it, but we're going to be smart about it, and we just don't want you to think that we're going to give everything away, but that doesn't mean we're not going for it. I think if he had said it differently, the reaction would have been different. And so, I think the way I articulated it is exactly the position that they have, that they are going to look to strike for the right opportunity, the right move, but rental players may not necessarily be our primary targets. Doesn't mean we won't consider them if the price is right. So I think that way people would say, all right, you know what, they're open to everything. They're going to consider going, they're going to go for it, but in the way that makes sense short term and long term, I can live with that. Understanding that we want to win a World Series, not just get to the playoffs as a wild card team, but it doesn't hurt to get to the playoffs as a wild card team. We'll take that. I'd sign up for that right now if I'm a Phillies fan and take my shot once we get there.
You need to come back to work. All right. I need you here, man.
It's a lot better. It's a lot better being a general manager for all 30 teams. At the end of the day, I don't have an owner or an owner's son calling me to have anything to say about the team. It's easier this way.
All right. Well, if you change your mind, let me know. Well, I'll work on the campaign. You know you got a friend here.
I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Good to talk to you, man.
You too. Take care.
Steve Phillips on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right. We'll come back in just a moment and open up the phone lines again. Lots to get to. I'm Cuz, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
Oh, we approach noon on a Monday, July the 15th. And I hope you enjoyed this, Steve Phillips, because I wanted a different kind of baseball guest. Someone that's more national, someone that has experience as a general manager working in the front office. I mean, you know, Andrew, we talk about this all the time. And the best part about GMs and coaches that go into media is that, you know, you can get a different perspective, particularly the GM perspective is an interesting one. You know, plotting and building teams. You know, it's funny because I remember he's talking about the owner's son calling him. You know, that's the thing that we don't know as a GM. Because remember, if you're a GM, president of a team, and you're working for a very wealthy man, right? And these guys have extreme wealth, and there's all kinds of crazy stories that come from the families. And you're at the behest of a lot of it. So it was good to get somebody of his, with his resume to come on and just kind of look at the Phillies. One of the things that stood out, now remember, he's not even going to be overly critical of guys like McPhail, of Klentak, because he walked in their shoes and he did it in New York. So he knows how tough, you know, we are, New York, Boston, he understands that. So he's not going to kill him. But he did say, and I thought he was pretty honest, he talked about, you know, Gabe being, you know, okay and kind of learning on the job. And the thing that you brought up during the break, you and I were talking about it, he brought up the how hard they sold their pitching.
Yeah, Nick Pivetta. He's going to be great. You know, he throws 95 miles per hour. They made him their number two starter this year. Remember way back when they named him the second starter in the rotation. They thought coming into this season that Vince Velasquez was going to take a leap. They thought Nick Pivetta was going to take a leap. The only guy that really stepped up for the majority of the season was Zach Eflin, and now he's starting to fall back into form. The guy that we expected to see. But he was the only guy that stepped up. So yeah, them trying to sell this starting pitching staff,
And they did. You talk about an upsell.
Yeah, they did it with Mike when Mike was down in spring training with the gang, and they do it with Steve Phillips, and I'm sure they did it with a bunch of other radio people and TV people and everybody that they spoke to. Oh yeah, we're gonna take a leap with this starting pitching staff.
Now, is that to say, look, we believe in our young arms, so we don't have to spend the money?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess they actually thought that. They neglected the starting pitching, in my opinion.
Of course. I mean, and even the, you know, and Steve brought up the bullpen, a lot of options in arms, but in reality, you know, Robertson, if you're going to go in there with Sir Anthony as a closer and try to make him be the closer, all right, but they, early on, when he fails, they bailed on him. Well, he's not ready yet for it. Well, at some point, either he's not going to be ready forever, you got to either think he's got the stuff for it and allow him to fail and say, dude, you're the closer, or you got to get a proven closer in there. And Hector is not the guy that you're going to close out games as a playoff team. No. He's not.
And I get it. You know what?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.